Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest, your hermitage of the heart, your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us to navigate this crazy life that we live. Stephanie's not with us this morning, but we do have a special guest in a special segment we're implementing on spiritual direction to make sure we're always touching base on the very topic that the founding of our all of our work began, where it began, which is spiritualdirection.com. And so my special guest is the co-founder of the Avila Institute. He's been the academic dean of three seminaries, best spiritual theologian alive, in my opinion, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and a very good friend. How are you?
Really good. Thank you. What a warm welcome.
So today we're talking about, you know, should I change my spiritual director? How do I change my spiritual director? How do I discern if I should change my director? I got a note from somebody. It's kind of a little bit of a sad one. I guess we'll start here. My spiritual director for the last two or so years has not been responding to me and my wife. Phone calls, emails, texts, etc. We know he's still around and have seen him. What do we do? So what do you think, Dr. Lillis?
Wow. Yeah, so you have a director who's no longer responsive to you, and you've entrusted your soul from him and you need some kind of feedback. That would be a pretty major sign that it's time to change a director, I would think. Probably though, I would make one more effort to talk to him to find out what happened and to see whether or not he might be able to refer you to another spiritual director, whether he has a recommendation.
Yeah, so a letter from you and your wife that says something like, thank you for your past support of our, you know, spiritual walk. We haven't heard from you. We suspect you've taken on assignments, or, you know, that you're very busy, and that's fine. Can you recommend somebody for us? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you think that's the way then?
Yeah, generally, I mean, every set of circumstances is so unique, but in general, you know, this is, spiritual direction is in the mode of a friendship. And just like you would do with any friend, you would want to be as respectful as you possibly can, presume the very best on their part. But you also, you know, have some spiritual needs and they're not able to fulfill that. And so where do we go now? And I think there's a way to do that that's very peaceful and orderly, and it gives them a chance to explain themselves. Sometimes there's an explanation that that, you know, sets our hearts at ease. Otherwise, if you just abruptly go, you know, leave somebody, I don't know, there's a lack of good order in that. And I think it allows the whole thing to be vulnerable to different kinds of spiritual attacks, suspicions and so forth.
Yeah, I'm a closed the loop guy. I hate open loops, you know. So my instinct too would maybe to add something that said, if we don't hear from back from you, be assured of our prayers and love, you know, just so that you close, and then you're closing it. And if he wants to add, but just so you can set it aside, you don't have to feel like, oh, I'm waiting and it's not closed. You just go ahead and close it. And then if he reopens it, God be praised. Or if he helps you to find another one, that's great. I think that would be a good addition too. So let's shift gears. You know, you and I and many, Stephanie, we've been doing spiritual direction for a long time. I wonder if I failed a directee recently who decided to exit. For background, I'm introverted, so if I don't have to meet or talk, I'm happy. That's just by like my instinct. I'm also very detached. I don't have a need to be needed either. So it's been a problem for me at times. I have to be careful where I don't detach too easily by choice, because I don't attach easily by instinct. So they said to me, hey, I've been thinking about, you know, shifting spiritual direction, and I'm thinking maybe of a priest. And of course, like, there's zero negative feelings that I have over that. It's like, you know, my desire for this person, wonderful human being, by the way, is I want what's best for them. I don't want to hold anyone back. I also have the sense that my direction, the way I direct, is usually to get people through rough patches. And then I tend to, I have a shorter thing, you know. I don't know, maybe that's not godly, I don't know, but Stephanie tends to be with people a lot longer. But I just tend to, when I meet with somebody, I think, well, we'll meet for a while and see how it goes. And then, you know, it's free. So on one hand, the way I responded was, well, one, I love you. All I care about is your, you know, the progress of your soul and your relationship with God. There's absolutely no negative as far as my, you know, this decision. If that's what you think you want to do, I know the priest, by the way, he's a great priest. You don't have to close this door if you want, or you can close it, and you can go meet with them, see how that goes. But the bottom line is, you're always welcome on my calendar, but you have my full support. Here's what I wonder in saying that. Should I have said, because I think if I were counseling me from the outside in, I would have been a better director to say, what's causing you to perceive this need to shift? Are you in desolation or consolation? If you're in desolation, then certainly the answer is no, you shouldn't make a decision to change, you know? But I didn't do that. Did I fail my directee in that sense?
You know, the Holy Spirit kind of uses these things. What you brought up, and it would be a very powerful conversation to be able to have, you know, to follow up with someone and just help them discern why they're doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
As human beings being who we are, we oftentimes let things get in and influence our discernment and not even realize that we're under one form of enchantment or another, you know, and simply by asking very simple questions, we can help somebody think through, not to try to grasp and keep them as a directee, but rather to help them use their freedom wisely. And that I think is our responsibility. I know one spiritual director who firmly believes, and he's a well-known, beloved spiritual director. He firmly believes that this director should never reach out to the directee. The director should always kind of respond to the directee's, you know, invitation. But then once that's been respond, you know, once there's kind of relationship there, you're totally available to the person. This gets to something that you brought out. You know, as a spiritual director, when you're reaching out, it can look like you have some unmet needs that you're trying to,
right?
You know, and so we got to give good space, but be there for people when they need us.
Yeah, and what I worry about too, just from my position as an author and a, I don't know, a public person teaching on the faith, I have a sensitivity that the more authoritative your voice, whether it be by power structure like reporting relationships or perceived, you know, position in society, the more easily you can fall into the trap of abusing the will of the person. A priest to a lay person is a perfect example, where if you have a lay person who looks up to priests because they have a proper sense of their role, it's very easy for a priest to usurp the will of a directee without even realizing it, by being too forceful, too directive, that sort of thing. And so I have that same sensitivity, where that's why I tend to be super, you know, hey, whatever works for you, I'm here for you, you know, and open. But I think I would, if I did a better job, it would have been in accordance with what you said, which would have said, well, for one, I should have said, absolutely love you, open, you know, you have my full support, whether I'm directing you or not. There's no negative. However, let's explore it a bit, because I want you to have the kind of framework you should have to discern whether what if you go to the next director and you feel like leaving, you know. Mm-hmm. I want you to have the tools, because really, ultimately, what a directee, the better scenario would have been, not picking on the directee, would have been something that looks something like this. Hey, I'm wondering, I don't know if I don't feel like I'm making a lot of progress right now. And I'm wondering if something in our relationship needs to change, or do I need to maybe find another spiritual director, you know, said with love, of course, and deference and respect. As a directee said to a director, what then that would do is open the door for the director. Then, like in the framework of that, your friend that you mentioned, who's very sensitive to freedom of the will as well, to go, yeah, okay, let's explore it, and whatever works out, you know, you have my support. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And what I like about it is that the nature of the conversation stays in it stays in the realm of a free response. There's invitations to consider, opening up questions, helping the person think through things. You know, it's amazing how many decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis where we're just kind of mindlessly going through, and we don't fully realize the ramifications or why we're doing what we're doing. And some things that doesn't matter, you know, like when you're shopping at the supermarket. But in other things like the spiritual life, this can have huge consequences. And so helping the person think through something is a huge act of a beautiful act of charity.
Before we go to the break, there one thing I want to offer folks, it's a free resource. spiritualdirection.com/warfare is a film series we produced on discernment of spirits. And particularly rule number 5 is what applies to this conversation I'm having with Dr. Lillis, which is never make a change when you're in desolation to spiritual commitments you made while in consolation, which is one foundational rule. When we get back from the break, we'll talk about Dr. Lillis to help folks understand. And then we'll also explore what are the good reasons to change spiritual direction, spiritual directors. I'm here with Dr. Anthony Lillis, the best living spiritual theologian alive, and one of my closest friends. So I'm biased, but he is fantastic. When we get back from the break, we'll dive back into how do we change our spiritual director, and how do we know when to do it and how to do it, all that good stuff. We'll be right back. Hey friends, another great course from the Avila Institute taught by Simone Rizcala, and a fantastic professor. If you are concerned about issues of suffering, prayer, salvation, and the ultimate horizons of eternal life, of how to understand what is hope, what is the essence of hope, and how to live in hope, there's a beautiful encyclical produced by Benedict XVI called Spes Salvi, which is Saved in Hope. And Simone is going to teach a school of spiritual formation course on that topic. Don't miss it. Avila-institute.org. Avila-institute.org. This is Dan Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio, here with my friend, Dr. Anthony Lillis, great spiritual theologian and writer. You should check out everything he writes, in his blog, in his books, what he writes on spiritualdirection.com. Everywhere he speaks, you should figure it out, follow, read, and you will be better for it. He's helping me today on our spiritual direction segments to talk through how do we know when we should change a spiritual director, and when we know, or how do we discern it, and then how do we do it. We already talked a little bit about how to do it or how not to do it from both the director standpoint and the directee standpoint. Just disappearing, not good. Not asking your director to discern it with you, not good. Director failing to help the directee discern it, not good. And then we talk through some of those alternatives. So now I want to shift to consolation and desolation, rule number five in Ignatius's rules, which I think is extraordinarily helpful, which says that basically when you're in desolation, which means you have this cloud of doubt, despair, and narcissism, and it can take many forms into scriptures, anxiety, sadness, slothfulness, lack of energy, a lot of different ways to describe that darkness that settles in. When that darkness settles in, the voice of God is faint and distant, and the voice of the enemy is loud and has a lot of weight. When you're there, you should never change any spiritual decision you've made prior to that moment. You need to wait for that to lift. And so I don't know, Dr. Lillis, I don't know how often people leave their directors when they're in desolation, but how important do you think that determining on a rule is?
Oh, I think it's very important. In fact, St. Ignatius also says you actually kind of need to act against the desolation by the one thing you do is you increase your acts of devotion during this time where it's not only you struggle to be virtuous, but you don't even want to be virtuous. There's something kind of rises up in you. And this is when Ignatius says, boy, double down, spend a little bit more time in prayer, make little extra acts of reparation. And I think we can extend that principle to the spiritual direction relationship. As a disciple of Christ going to my spiritual director, when I'm in desolation, I might need him a little bit more than less at that stage of the game. And then to the specific question about changing directors, I might need to wait until I'm out of, if I'm supposed to change directors, wait till I'm out of desolation before I change directors, because I'm not entirely clear. My world is a little bit confused. If I don't want virtuous things, I'm not positioned to make a good discernment about such an important relationship as that spiritual direction relationship.
Good, good. So then let's shift to what might be the indicators that a person is ready to leave a spiritual direction relationship. And I'll just give you one, and you're, please critique me and correct me. I had a director who was very good and wholly religious. And what was happening in that relationship was that he would just always praise me and always tell me I'm fine. I feel a little silly admitting this now, because I'm seeing as I'm saying it out loud, I can see the holes more clearly. But I just, I wanted to be pushed. And you know what I didn't do? I didn't say to him, well, one, I didn't do what we're trying to teach on this show, which is I didn't say, hey, I'm thinking about making a shift. I come to you. I love you. You're such a good man. I revere you. All you do, though, is tell me I'm great. And I just think you think too highly of me. That's what I should have said. I think you think too highly of me. And I feel like I need to be pushed, and then give him the opportunity then to see if he's comfortable pushing on me more. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think what you just discerned there would have been good. You don't know, what's exactly going on in the heart of your director until you kind of ask and you put things out on the table. And it could have been the case, that he had discerned, boy, this guy needs a lot of encouragement, and wasn't able to see your need to be challenged. And it just wasn't communicated, or somehow wasn't manifest to him. So could the Lord have used that spiritual direction relationship in a more dynamic way? And the answer, we don't really know. But when you're not afraid of the truth, not afraid to ask the hard questions, spiritual direction goes to a whole nother level.
Yeah. So how do I know if I'm ready for a change? And let's rule out, in answering this question, let's rule out bad spiritual direction. You know, for instance, somebody came to me recently and said, I go to my director and all he does is talk about himself or whatever. And that's just a director not worth dealing with, in my opinion. I don't mean to be harsh, but the director is not there for his or her, you know, therapy or just to talk about themselves. They're there to help the directee discern the will of God in their life. But let's just assume all the director is actually well-trained, well-formed, good, proper order. But yet, let's say I feel like I'm not growing spiritually or whatever. What would be the good reasons to think, well, maybe it is time to shift?
Well, one of the things is if you kind of hit a plateau and the counsel that you're receiving, you're not in desolation, but the counsel simply isn't helping you. And let me give you a very concrete example. This comes from St. John of the Cross, and I think it's a Living Flame of Love. I think it's, I want to say it's in the third stanza, his commentary on the third stanza of the poem. He goes into a, he actually gets really critical of spiritual directors who attempt to keep the directee on a one form of prayer, you know, kind of vocal prayer and on meditation, but don't allow them to go into silence, even when all the signs are there that they need a little bit more freedom to go into silence. And John of the Cross says, boy, this director isn't doing this soul any good. Well, what's happened? Why would a spiritual director do that? He hasn't discerned this soul that God has entrusted to him, how the soul is growing. He has his preconceived ideas of what this what ought to be going on. And he may, if he's well-formed, he may know that this is a possibility that a soul might need a greater sense of freedom to go into deeper silence. He may know that, but he, for whatever reason, it's not registering that this is that. Well, presuming good intention, presuming good information, it just simply means this director doesn't have the gift he needs to direct you.
In that moment for you, not a bad director, but in that moment for you, doesn't get you, whatever. So now then I guess we've discussed though, then how you would deal with that. You would just say, you know, I don't, you know, let's say as a priest, Father, I'm just feeling stuck. And I think just keeping to do the same things doesn't seem the way out. You know, do you think it's time for me maybe to shift someone with a little different perspective?
Boy, that's a great way to do it. Mm-hmm. And this way you're not really criticizing the man, but you are presenting to him the situation that you're in, which mm-hmm. again, it's different than desolation. You're, now there's a close cousin to this that we need to separate out. And the close cousin to this is, sometimes the person receiving direction is frustrated with themselves. You might call it a form of desolation, but it's not quite desolation. They're frustrated with themselves. They're frustrated with how long things are taking. And they think by changing directors, they're going to be able to leapfrog whatever it is.
So impatience.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is not what we're trying to get at here. Isn't the same as being impatient, and that's why this conversation with the director is so very important, because the director could say, you know, well, the problem isn't that, you know, you're frustrated in your spiritual growth. The problem is that you're an impatient person with the Lord.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think with the kind of culture we have, fast food, everything, I think, you know, the way we do study and formation in our community, Apostle Via, is long form, very deep, very slow. And at times I you know, people have complained, and I just think, you know what? If you're looking for a fast track to becoming a saint, you don't understand what's going on. And there's an ascetical discipline that we need to have that actually works to the virtue of patience, that says, you know, just because I don't get what I want as fast as I want doesn't mean something's wrong. Maybe that I want something faster than I want it means something, you know, that's the adjustment point, which means I need to just slow down and be at peace with what God is doing. You know, so it depends on where you are on the spectrum. If you're slothful, sometimes you need your hiney whooped and you need to get hooked up to a wagon and dragged into heaven, you know. But if you're a type A personality and you're energetic and you're really dedicated, that's the kind of person where probably the Lord's going to say, you know, you need to, part of your sanctification is patience. So anyway, Dr. Lillis, we're out of time. It's been such a blessing to be with you on this spiritual direction segment. Folks, if you want to go deeper into some of these things we've been talking about with respect to discernment, check out a great film series we've produced. It was very expensive to produce, free for you, because we love you. SpiritualDirection.com/warfare, which teaches you the spiritual battle that we're in these kinds of contexts, and then the wisdom of St. Ignatius, and then some of our own perspective regarding scripture and how all that comes together, will help you to understand the influence of the enemy in these situations and how to find your way out. We also have regular retreats at our retreat center here in Alabama, for men and women, silent retreats. Check that out at spiritualdirection.com/events. Dr. Lillis, thank you for being a guest today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.